my Ghana. Om Gana Tiriranda Shaganandana Sarakaya Chakshushun Vritam Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine.
Hay una manera de grabar mi lección. Si puede preguntar, hay que dar.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Narangshaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Diyajet Mukhakuroti Vacharam Pangolangayate Girim Yatkipatamahang Bande Sri Gurum Dinatharinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Swaram. Bhagavad Gita as it is, Knowledge of the Absolute, Chapter 7, Text 13 and 14. ¿Alguien aquí que necesite una traducción en español?
Tibhiguna maya bhava Ebi sarvamidam jagat Mohitam nami janati Mamebhya Paramabhyaya. Daivihesha gunamayi mama maya durataya mameva je prapadyante mayame tam tarantite.
The temple opens again at 8 for those that you can offer your lamps to the deities at 8 if you can. They're changing into their night dress now. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is 7, 13, and 14. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all of these energies are divine. Although living entities are part of His energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with the material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal, superior nature of the Lord. But due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Badha, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult. Even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material energy, as defined herein, as a divine energy or divine nature, due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will, being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows. Mayam tu prakritiṃ vidhyān, mayinam tu maheshwaram. Although maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. Svaita Swatara Upanishad, 4th chapter, 10th verse. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the unbound, cannot help the bound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Krishna, or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of His causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of His paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words Mam Eva are also significant. Mam means unto Krishna, Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajoguna, passion, and Tamoguna ignorance to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, He alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas, Sweta Svatupanishad 3.8, confirms this in the phrase, Tam eva viditva, or freedom is possibly only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can only be achieved by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnur eva na samsaya. There is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the 7th chapter, 13th and 14th verses, in the matter of knowledge of the Absolute. Celebrating the festival of lights as well as Govardhan Puja in these days, we can see even how a great elevated soul like Lord Indra, became impatient and offended when the Brajavasis, the residents of the village of Vrindavan, on the advice of Lord Krishna, stopped to worship Indra, and instead they performed the Govardhan Puja. Lord Krishna says that they should all worship the hill of Govardhan. They should circumambulate the hill with the cows, and they should offer. At that time, the Govardhan hill took a gigantic form and ate the huge quantities of prasad, of offerings. So Krishna said that this Govardhan hill is not different from Him. But Indra, who was used to getting annual worship for rains and other things as the Lord of the three worlds, as the King of the celestial kingdom, he became very angry. That who are these people? Why do they stop to worship me, listening to some little boy? He wasn't aware that this little boy was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it says that in this material world, everybody's under the influence of these three modes of nature. And they're not able to understand who is Krishna. Because Krishna is beyond the three modes. He's inexhaustible. He's transcendental. So when Krishna comes into this world, it's very bewildering for the people to understand who this Krishna is. Because like a magician, he can, when he wants to make himself look like he belongs as one of the human race, And when he wants to, he can do some exceedingly miraculous activity, which human beings are not able to do. So it's quite bewildering for people, even for the great devas, to distinguish immediately who is Krishna. So Indra, who's in charge of the rain, he decided to flood out Vrindavan. And he sent torrential rains from his, Samavartika clouds, which are used at the dissolution of the universe to create a big universal flood. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, at the end of one of the days of Brahma, it describes how there was a king called Satyavrata, who was a great devotee of the Lord, and how one day in his hand there appeared a small fish. Then he took the fish and he threw it in a pond, in a river or something. But then the fish said, "Don't throw me here because there are many big aquatics. They're going to eat me. Please don't throw me here." So he was quite surprised to hear a fish talking, pleading to save him. So he took the fish out and put the fish in a fish bowl. But then immediately the fish grew and filled up the bowl. He said, "It's too small for me." Then he took the fish out and threw it in a well. But then the fish grew again and filled up the well. He said, "It's too small for me." Then he took him and put him into a small pond, and then he filled up the pond. They moved him to a larger lake and he filled up the lake. So then finally took him to the ocean, put him in the ocean. He said, "Don't put me in the ocean, there's big fish here." He said, "Listen, my dear sir, can you please tell me who are you? I never heard a fish talk before. And every body of water I put you in, you grow and fill up and become huge. So I think that you're not an ordinary fish. You must maybe be the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is just testing me or something. Can you please reveal who you are?" So then this fish revealed that he's the Matsya Avatar. He's a form of Vishnu who comes in the shape of a fish. And he said, and so he blessed him. And then Satyavrata offered so many wonderful prayers to him. He explained how in this material world, people are under the illusion that they're the bodies, which are made of these three modes of material nature. And they forget that actually they're the eternal spirit soul, and that they actually have a higher existence. Forgetting that, they're basing their whole happiness, their whole peace of mind, their whole everything on what happens with their bodies. And in this way, they waste their life forgetting about their eternal spiritual existence, rather than having a balanced life where they side by side see for the material and the spiritual side both. So he said, "Only by your mercy, Matsya, only by your mercy, O my Lord, is it possible for people in this material world to understand their actual identity and their actual existence, and to come out of this kind of an illusion." So like this then, he offered many other wonderful prayers. Then the Matsya Avatar told him that very soon is going to come the end of the day of Brahma. And there's going to be a torrential rains and this whole world is going to be flooded. So at that time, I'm going to send a boat to you. A big ship. And you should at that time take all kinds of herbs and plants and things and put them in the ship. And you can also take the rishis and brahmins with you. as well as other living entities of all kinds will enter the boat with you. And then I will appear and you tie your boat to me. I have a horn on my head. You tie your boat using the Vasuki serpent. So in this way, Satyavrata, then the Matsya disappeared. After some time, this torrential raining started and the whole world started to fill up with water. So then Satyavrata remembered what he had to do. This boat appeared and then he got all kinds of herbs and plants and put them on the ship. Then he entered into the ship with rishis and different kinds of animals. And then Matsya appeared. The gigantic fish appeared. And he tied himself to the fish with this serpent. And this way, Matsya, he was speaking, because he's not just ordinary fish, he's actually the Supreme Lord. Just took a form of a fish. He's transcendental. He can take any form he wants to. So because the whole world is being flooded, it was more convenient and more appropriate to be a fish. So then he, for the whole night of Brahma, he was speaking spiritual instructions to Satyavrata, and everybody was very blissful listening to all these instructions. Then later, when the new day of Brahma came, a new creation came, then all these plants and things were reused for the recreation. It's kind of interesting. It is very similar to the story of Noah and the Ark, which is in the Bible. I don't know if it's in the Quran, but I know it's in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So it's a very similar story. But how the Lord, he's transcendental to the three modes. If he wants to, he can come in and take different forms, do different things. But his most mysterious form is when he comes as a human being, as Krishna or Rama. So Krishna, he was more liberal. And he sometimes showed different miracles. Like in Kurukshetra battle, he showed the universal form. So when these torrential rains came, that same kind of rain, that time, Satyavrata's time, they actually did flood the whole world. Here they were just flooding Vrindavan. But then Krishna lifted up the Govardhan hill, and everybody took shelter under the hill, and for 7 days, Krishna was lifting the hill with his little finger of his left hand. Now previously, the villagers thought that, well, Krishna is kind of an amazing boy, but when he lifted a mountain for 7 days, they said, he's a little more than amazing. Who is Krishna anyway? So this Govardhan Leela, during that time, different his cowherd friends, they just saw Krishna as their friend. They thought, Krishna, you're holding that hill. Maybe your arm is getting tired. Let us give your hand a massage. Or hand it over to Sridham here for a while, and then we can just give you a little arm of massage. Because the nature of the friends of Krishna, they don't see Krishna as God. They just see him as their friend. Some of the boys are holding their stick up to the Govardhan Hill also, just like to help Krishna. Okay, we'll help you hold the... Actually, he doesn't need any help, but anyway, that's their mood is like that. The parents of Krishna, they're overwhelmed with parental affection. And the gopis, and they're looking to Krishna as their husband, as their lover, and all these things are going on simultaneously while Indra is flooding. Now when the flooding ended, the clouds said, look at, you sent us to try to flood out Vrindavan. You're saying that these boys didn't, this people listened to a little boy. This little boy is the Supreme Lord. He's lifting up a mountain there. We don't want to get in his bad graces. You sent us to do a wrong thing. So then Indra realized that he made a mistake and withdrew the clouds, or anyway, had no choice, they were withdrawing themselves. Then Krishna told everybody to get out from under the mountain, and then he replaced it. It's quite hard to lift up a mountain like that, have not fall apart or anything. This whole thing's... The Govardhan is still there, and Govardhan Puja Day, thousands and thousands of people circumambulate Govardhan Hill. It's about 26 kilometers around, like the length of a marathon. And then afterwards, Indra came in and met Krishna in a solitary place and paid his obeisances to Krishna and begged for forgiveness. At that time, a Surabhi cow came and gave an abhishek to Krishna from her udder. And Indra's elephant, Airavata, he came and sprayed Indra with water from the Jamuna River. So Krishna forgave Indra and gave him a blessing. So sometimes in the modes of nature, even these very powerful people in the universe, Indra is like an angel or something who's in king of all the angels, charge of the material manifestation, three worlds, the lower part of the universe, the lower, middle, upper, everything but the super highest parts. And even he got bewildered. So what to speak of other people? So if we take shelter of Krishna, we can cross over this illusion. If we think that we can somehow overcome the illusion by our own intelligence and determination and ingenuity and any other material effort, well, we're not going to be successful. As Prabhupada said here, someone bound hand and foot can't untie themselves. He needs help from somebody who is free. So when we're in this material world and we're bound under the three modes of nature, we need freedom from someone who has a vision beyond these three modes. That's Krishna and his representatives. They free us from this material world. So in this way, the seventh chapter is very important because it establishes the material nature and Krishna's position over it, how Krishna liberates the souls who are conditioned in the material world. If he wants to, Prabhupada said, he can tell the material nature, free him. Just like sometimes you hear about some governor freeing a person who's on death row or suspending the death sentence or sometimes freeing a convict. They have the right. I think before President Clinton left his office, he signed the orders freeing lots of people. Some question came. But anyway, as head of state, he had the right to give pardons. So for whatever reason, he thought just to do so. So Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he wants to, he can tell. Just like the head of state tells the prison authorities, free this prisoner. That's it. They're free. If Krishna wants, he tells the material nature, free this person. They're free. Other devas or other personalities in the universe, they don't have the keys to get us free. Brahma and Indra can give us material facilities in the material world, but they can't give us freedom. Mukunda or Vishnu is the person who gives freedom to everybody. If somebody wants to ultimately get out of this illusion of the material nature, they need to have the mercy excuse me, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva, he was glorifying to Mother Parvati the glories of the seventh chapter. in the Padma Purana, he explained how once there was a businessman who was very successful. He earned lots of money. He was one of the richest people on the planet at the time, or at least in that kingdom. Ministers and royalty, they were coming to see him. He would sometimes give charity, but it was usually all quite... It was not for any altruistic reason. It was for getting influence and name and fame. So he really wasn't doing anything for any higher purpose. He was just mainly making more and more and more money. So in those days, they didn't have he didn't trust the banks or anything, whatever system there was for keeping money. So he buried his money in some hidden place. One time he was traveling and he suddenly got a heart attack and he died. And he could never tell his descendants where the money was. So they're looking everywhere, they're trying to find it. But they couldn't locate it. So they only had a fraction of his wealth that wasn't buried. He was taken away by the Yamadutas to Yamalok, where Yamaraj judged his case and said that you are a very wealthy person, but you didn't use your money for any good purpose. You were simply using it for, you're hoarding it. You weren't even using it for much sense gratification either. You were just a miser. So you were so much attached to your money, which you buried in a hole. Now you can become a deadly serpent and live in a hole next to your money and you can guard it. If anybody tries to take it, you can bite them. So you can enjoy your money now. Have fun. So then he took birth as a snake from one of the wealthiest people on the planet to a snake living in a hole next to his money, his pile of gold. And he was living like that for some time, but somehow he could remember his previous life and he was thinking, what a fool I was. How I never gave charity to Krishna. I never did any kind of pious work to actually uplift anybody. I just was a selfish person trying to make more and more money. And in this way, now I'm sitting here in this stupid hole as a snake guarding this money, and I really wasted my life. If I could do it all over, I wouldn't do it the same way for sure. But I never knew this was going to happen. So then, after a year or more, he came in the dreams of his four sons and told them that I'm in this, I took birth again as a snake guarding my money because I was so much of a miser. And I need you boys to help me get out of this situation because I've been cursed by my own miserliness. So when they woke up, they were all shocked. They told each other the dream they had, and they were surprised everybody had the same dream. So then, when they all heard they all had the same dream, they took it must be true. So each one had a slightly different reaction. The first one was thinking, how can I get the money? But he was saying, yes, it's very unfortunate. What can we do? The second one was really shook up. It really affected him. My father became a snake. It's horrible. Oh, he's a snake in a hole. Oh, I can't take it. You know, it's like just cracked up. The third one, he was really sincerely thinking, how can we help our father? What can we do? This is horrible. He made some mistakes, but he wasn't a bad person. We should try to help him. He helped us. He made whatever we are, thanks to him. So on, he was like really thinking about helping. So he said, we should do something. The fourth one was really stinky guy. He figured out he knew where his father might have buried the money. If he can get one day, he can go there, dig it up, steal it, and take it away and rip off his brothers. So then he said, yes, the third brother's got the right idea. We should help our father. Let's think about it for one day. Come up with a plan. And tomorrow we'll share at the same time, same place. We'll get together and we'll share each other's ideas and come up with our final plan. So that night he woke up his wife. They took a shovel and pick. And they went out where he saw his father one time in the forest. He was just, thought this must be the somewhere in this area. So he started digging around there. Out came the snake. Why you are digging? I'm going to kill you now. He said, Father, I'm just looking for you. You're trying to take the money. You want to also become a snake like me. No, Father, I'm not interested in the money. I just want to help you. Don't bite me. If you really want to help me, then you go back and tell your brothers that on my death anniversary, they should perform a srat. Father, we perform srat every year for you, but you're just doing an ordinary one. That's not strong enough. I was too sinful a person. This time you have to do a special srat where you bring a devotee who chants the 7th chapter Bhagavad Gita. And you have him chant it for me. And dedicate all the results of the chanting to my soul. That will be the only thing to free me. The 7th chapter Bhagavad Gita is very powerful. Now go back and don't misuse your life like I did. So then the brother went back and told some story, whatever, and he told the other brothers that somehow this thing happened. So on the death anniversary, they got a devotee to come and chant the 7th chapter Bhagavad Gita. They did the other srat ceremony. And then srat means it's a ceremony for the departed soul to send spiritual benefits to them. So when they did this ceremony, and they dedicated the 7th chapter chanting to the father, then the father was liberated. And he came and he gave all of the, he gave with the money and he said, okay, you've liberated me. By the 7th chapter Bhagavad Gita, I come, I give you the money, but I want to tell you all first. Use it wisely. Do things like Krishna service. Build temples, distribute prasadam, distribute books, do things which are beneficial to others, which are service to God. In this way, also read the 7th chapter Bhagavad Gita. Prepare yourselves to go back to Godhead. We're not meant to stay here forever in this material world. So in this way, he gave them instruction, divided the money equally. All the four followed their father's instructions. They were building temples and doing spiritual services and charitable works. And then they also reading the 7th chapter Bhagavad Gita. The father was taken back to Godhead by the Vishnudutas, and the life, the sons also went back. So we are locked in this three modes of material nature. But if we focus on how wonderful Krishna is, how Krishna is transcendental to the three modes, because he is free, he can free us, then we can also get out of this predicament. And we can be also eternally happy. There's a happiness that goes beyond these three modes, and that's what we're really hankering for. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, this chanting is transcendental. And while chanting, we are also above the three modes. When we engage our thoughts, our words, our deeds in Krishna's service, then our whole existence becomes transcendental to the three modes. When we do things just for our material sense gratification, forgetful of Krishna and our own eternal existence, then we remain in this conditional life. So we need to, as a human being, to be born again, take initiation from bona fide spiritual master, serve Krishna, remain on the transcendental platform throughout our life. Even while we're doing our material duties, we never lose sight of the goal. In this way, we can achieve real perfection in this very short human form of life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions? Wow. It's for me. Thank you. Here. This one's for you. They use nylon threads nowadays. Any other question? You like? Chant all the 18. Eighteenth is the most powerful. Some choose a short one. Some that is like one particular one, whatever reason. I mean, there are some that have, like the ninth chapter, especially wards off malefic influences in one's life, bad luck, spirits, all kinds of, you know, curses, whatnot. So maybe if somebody's afraid of some kind of reaction to something they did, or some kind of, maybe they chant the ninth chapter. This one, seventh, I guess if you want to deliver a forefather, that'd be a good one. Probably not to declare that you're offering. There's the mantras you can do that with. Every year in Mayapur, for 1 month before Narsingha Chaturdasi, devotees chant extra mantras to put for the Narsingha Yantra. And they offer even hundreds of millions of mantras into the yantra. So many devotees there. Some people chant 16 rounds a day extra. things like that. It becomes a huge amount of mantras. Then, on the morning of Narsingha Chaturdasi Day, everybody who chanted these extra mantras had to meditate on the mantras they chanted. You do an ashrama, they pour some water in your hand, you meditate on it, and you pour the water into a pot. After saying like a little dedication mantra. And then all that water that people have gathered, like you're giving away whatever the benefit of those mantras are. Then they take that and do an abhishek with that water on the Narsingha Yantra. My ring here is a Gauranga Yantra. And it has over 10 million mantras in it. Devotees, last Vyas Puja, about a couple hundred devotees chanted for 3 days extra mantras and then deposited here. Just like an ordinary ring, right? Any other question? Yes? After they leave the body.
Yeah.
The dead body is there.
Yeah,
the body. Well, usually we cremate the dead body as soon as possible. And then ashes, I recommend put ashes in the Ganga or Jamuna. Scripture says that by putting the ashes, a little bit, I don't need all of them, but a little bit of the ashes, the ceremony, you mix the ashes with cow dung. And then you pour that, and there's some mantras, you dedicate that as a visarjan into the Ganga, for instance. Since there's scriptural references that by the ashes, just like the Ganges touched the ashes of the descendants of Maharaj Sagar and delivered them. So the Ganges is known to deliver the souls when the ashes are put in the Ganges. I heard that the Jamuna is something like that, but I'm not, I don't know about that specifically. But the Ganga is very powerful for that. That while the lead singer of the Grateful Dead, his wife put his ashes in the Ganga. Some of his fans were saying, why not put it in the Bay of San Francisco? I don't know, San Francisco Bay has the same potency. Every year before the Gaur Purnima on the Chaturdasi, we have a Ganga Puja. And that time last year, and 2 years ago, we had about 18 different samples of people's ashes from around the world that we immersed into the Ganges. And we did a tarpana, which is offering the Ganges water and there's a system tarpana that you offer the water in a particular way, put your brahmata on the other side. And then we offer that to the souls of the deceased people. And we made a special offering for Tamakrishna Maharaj and Vrindavaneshwari and George Harrison and Tribhuvanath, who had recently passed away at that time. So there was 1,000 devotees there offering tarpana. Had everybody repeat the mantras. So big package. I don't know if Tamil Krishnamurti needed it, but anyway, out of respect. At the end of the month of Kartik, we do Bhishma Panchaka. 5 days we go every day to the Ganges and we do offer tarpana to Bhishma Dev. So usually the descendants offer tarpana to their forefathers. So Bhishma Dev, he took the vow of Brahmacharya because of different reasons. And so technically didn't have any descendants. But then somehow Vishnu, somehow in the scripture, it gives the ceremony that every year people do Bhishma Panchaka, and part of it is all the people doing it, which may be thousands of people all over India. They offer tarpana to Bhishma Dev. So you don't lose anything by being a devotee. He made a big sacrifice at that time, and even though he didn't have any sons, so many people are offering him tarpana. Anyway, he went back to Godhead too, so but anyway, it's a nice meditation. Any questions there in the back? Didi is probably open any minute now. 8:05. If you leave your body in Vrindavan or in the holy dham, then it's also a quick way back to Godhead. So many old people go to the dham to leave their body. Otherwise, taking the dead body there is not, I've never heard about taking the ashes and putting in the holy rivers. In fact, it says that someone's carrying the ashes to the Ganges, and on the way they run into an accident and they don't make it. And they die while they're carrying the ashes. But the fact that they were carrying somebody's remains, their what it's called, the anta something, then they also go back to Godhead. So if you're going to India, it's like a travel insurance if you're carrying somebody's ashes to put in the Ganges. Our Mahamadasudan ashes were put in the Ganges. It was a very nice devotee, did so much service. In his younger life as a brahmachari, he was a life member collector in Calcutta. And later as a grihastha, he came here and was a pujari and a cook and a preacher. And trying to maintain himself as a grihastha, at the same time doing some service. Very untimely loss. So I heard today that the day he left, he had a car accident and left, but that day in the morning he cooked for the deities. So there was auspicious that he'd done that service. Last quick questions. I heard it was in a valley somewhere in Kashmir, but not necessarily in Srinagar. I saw a documentary once and they showed a tomb in some valley in Kashmir. They call Isha. They call Jesus Isha. And that after his resurrection, he traveled over Iran and got into, through Pakistan, got into Kashmir. And he stayed there in some valley and that's where he left. There are different holy places around, and different ones have different potencies. In the Padma Purana, it was giving a listing how some holy places can free one from minor sins. Some can are more powerful, they can free you from a big sin. Some can free you from a super sin. And some are so powerful they can liberate you. There's seven holy places that by leaving your body there, it said you can go back to Godhead. Like Badrinath and Mayapur, Vrindavan. Seven different, I don't remember all of them offhand, but I remember there were seven specifically mentioned as having direct doorways back. But other places would be beneficial. We can depend on the relative spiritual potency. Anything in relation to Krishna or God definitely has potency. Since Jesus was a great guru, wherever he was, that would be have some potency.